I have to say, if a guy, if I was a guy and I met a girl, and on the very, very first day, hi, my name is Bonnie. Hi, my name is Ayaza. Nice to meet you. Okay, now give me like 100K because I've got hair, nails, and feet to do, and I gotta eat. Bro, I'm going to run. That's not how it should work. People should get to know each other. Like, what do you mean? Like, didn't you come from a house? Didn't it have a roof? Was there no food?
I'm from a beautiful place, the Pearl of Africa. Hailing with a 256, it's in my blood. That's a gem where the mountains rise. With stories untold, the tapestry of cultures unfolding, so vibrant and bold. A symphony of stars, a celestial light. The drums beating, echoing through the night, just like a beacon of light. A reflection that's coming up from the Nile. I'm flowing straight into the heart of Africa with timeless stories untold.
Welcome once again to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show for another episode, a new episode on the podcast. We're dedicated to bring you these stories, excitement, laugh. So we hope you enjoy them. And today I'm excited to have Ayaza Bridget in the studio, right out of Down South Studios. Bridget, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Bonnie? I'm happy to be here, of course. This is something that I looked forward to, which is interesting. You have to tell everyone how I got here. It was a funny thing.
That was the first question I was going to ask you.
Very, very funny.
How did you find the Ugandan Boy Talk Show? Okay, people are out there asking, how is she here?
Well, it was a random Tuesday afternoon. I don't know what day of the week it was, but it was a random weekday. And you had posted something. You had posted, you know how you have your snippets on your page, mm-hmm. your socials. Before that, I had listened to the podcast.
Okay.
However, I had not done any engagement towards the podcast, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, there was a young lady. She was speaking about something. And then you happened to ask her, who do you want to see on the podcast next? Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, in all my glory, I went like, I want to see me next. That's how I ended up here. And then you went like, okay, let's make it happen. In that moment, in my mind, I saw it going a different way. I was like, no, there's no way I'm going to end up there. What am I going to talk about? Mm-hmm. There's nothing I have to say to the people. And then somehow I just went with it. And then an email down the road, here I am, sat in this beautiful chair.
That's exciting. And that's what I keep saying. Like, from the day I got that question, who would you like to see on the podcast? It has taken me places. It has made me meet a lot of people. Never in a million years I would have guessed like today I'll be talking to you, but it's because of that question that I have on the podcast that then I get to have you on the podcast, which is exciting. And I'm happy to have you in the podcast. And we're glad that we had some behind the scenes.
Happy to be here.
We had some behind the scenes of like talking before this whole show going on. So had some fun, some language speaking. But I'm excited to have a conversation with you. And it's crazy because I told you behind the scenes that, you know, it's crazy to have a guest in the studio and they have no idea what you're going to ask them about. Like they don't know. Like, they just hear.
I was telling my sister that I'm on the way here, right? Mm-hmm. And then she says, so do you know what you're going to talk about? And I'm like, by the way, I don't know. I just woke up. I decided the same way I don't choose my outfits. It's the same way I just woke up and decided I'm coming here. So here I am. Whatever you have in store for me, just shoot. I will answer.
That's crazy. You
I'm
trusted
ready
us.
When you're ready.
You trusted us.
Yeah.
So for the listeners, Bridget is a Christian, a mother, co-owner of Vino Bucket 24. Did I miss out anything? Yeah. That's all I know. Did I miss out anything?
Hey.
What are you going to add to that?
In Ugandan terms, people usually ask, what did you study? What did you go to school for? Yada, yada, yada. Well, I can't put all that in the bio. So, but my main field is marketing, media, entertainment. That's it.
Okay.
There's nothing I left out.
So we were talking behind the scenes still, and you mentioned something. You said if we had music in the studio, you would be on your South African knees. Are you South African? But also you mentioned you're from the West.
Be careful what you say. It will come and bite you. Well, I'm not South African. In my mind, in my past life, I was South African.
Okay.
I actually usually tell people jokingly, I must have been Latina in my past life and South African, because these knees, I can assure you, mm-hmm. are South African.
Why?
Catch me somewhere out there. Uh-huh. Don't. Yo, have you ever seen me get down in my, you know, South African moves?
Yeah.
Don't play with me. Do not play. If you dare me, actually don't. But if you do,
yeah,
I will show you. But I am from the West.
Okay.
From the western part of Uganda. I'm from the district of Ibanda.
Ibanda district.
If anyone wants to know.
And yeah. You speak Lunyankole?
Yes,
can you,
I do.
Can you greet our listeners in Lunyankole, the people who are listening?
Mwebade kuija kuhurishiza the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Nimbaramsia murije. Yes.
Yeah. That's good.
My Lunyankole is done for the day.
I like listening to other languages, and we spoke a little bit of Spanish. Gracias. People, the listeners missed out a lot of fun before. That's why I was saying the producer should have recorded behind the scenes, but. How did you learn Spanish?
That's an interesting story, actually. It freaked my mother out. I remember I was done with college, my very first degree. I went to Uganda Mates University.
Okay.
And the moment I graduated, everyone was asking, of course, the it question. You ask your friends and each other and your classmates, what are you going to do next? And people are like, I'm going to do a master's. I'm going to go and work in some government office. I don't know, here and there, whatever their interests were. And I kept thinking, yeah, that's not going to happen. I want to travel and see the world, right? So I graduated in November, I think, literally in January, actually. I was on a plane to Latin America, to Colombia, to work.
Oh, wow.
And I remember my parents asking me, of all places that you could have chosen anywhere in the world, you chose Colombia. And people kept asking me why. And I kept saying, it's actually your fault. Because I don't know if my parents are like any other people's parents, but mom used to watch soaps. Like her life depended on it. Every time you're passing, La Mujer de mi, some random soap would be showing on TV. So I said to myself, you know what? I want to go see for myself if that's how it is mm-hmm. down there. And I ended up down there.
In Colombia.
And I spent there a year and something working. So I picked up some Spanish.
Oh, nice.
So that's what happened.
That's a really dope story, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see, we used to watch a lot of like Ina and Angelo. I know people are going to judge me, say like I'm too old because those soaps are really old.
You're old. Your age, you should have a walking stick. Because what do you mean, Ina?
Ina and Angel. We used to even, kids these days won't know, we used to even buy pictures. There were people who were saying those pictures of those soaps, like on the streets. Then you buy them.
And you hang, eh?
Yeah.
Those were the people you hang on your wall.
Yeah.
Dude, you're old. Eh? You are old. They would never understand.
They would never understand.
That those things had me questioning. Asking myself, but is that how life is mm-hmm. down there for real? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
I want to see. And that's the thing that triggered me, which is interesting, because everyone else would have gone like, okay, that's how these soaps go. Okay, that's nice. And wouldn't bother to check. But I just wanted to see for myself mm-hmm. and be like, okay, do these guys wake up looking that perfect yeah. though? Are the guys all good looking like that? Mm-hmm. Or is it just me? Anyway, I went and found out.
But so you found out and then you picked up Spanish. So would you say you're very fluent yeah. in Spanish or just you can survive?
That would be a lie.
Yeah.
Especially now that it's been years without practice mm-hmm. because it's very hard to find people like in my day to day who go like, oh, I speak Spanish. No.
Yeah.
So without practice, I've maybe lost a bit of it, but I could be fine. I would survive. Yeah. I would never get kidnapped like you.
That's funny. Anyway, we took a sidetrack a little bit from where I wanted to take you, but there is never a sidetrack on podcasts. We can always get back to track and follow mm-hmm. the questions. When I did your intro, yeah. I said you're the co-owner of Vino Baca 24. Let's talk about Vino Baca yeah. 24, how you're the co-owner. How did that get started?
Vino Baca is a wine brand. that's very, very new. However, not new to the founders of it. It comes from an interest in wine and to make something that we both enjoy having, that we have used to create relationships, because, you know, you meet a friend and you're like, let's have a glass of wine. So that's how it happened. It's not Ugandan based though. So people might want to say, oh, we haven't seen Vino Baka on the market. No. So it was launched in March. It was launched in March, but not here. So it's not on this market yet. It's currently Europe based. So it's that way. But we want to bring it here. The co-founder is my sister. We both love a good glass of wine. Her name is Aleti Cristo. So her, like, the both of us, we just like, every time we're out, actually, we like to have a glass of wine. We pair our meals with a glass of wine. Or even if we just meet friends outside, come over, and then we have our little brunches. So it's out of, it's like a passion, you know. You make something out of something that you enjoy. Yeah.
So you say this, that wine is not yet in Uganda, or people can access it in Uganda?
Yes.
Okay.
However, we do intend to bring it here. So if eventually people will get a taste of it over here.
Okay.
And maybe we shall infiltrate all those branches.
I love wine.
That happened in Uganda.
I love wine. I remember I went on a cruise to the Bahamas, and on the cruise, mm-hmm. you know, you can get any drink you want. So I ordered, every dinner, I would get a Moscato. I drank Moscato till the cruise ran out of Moscato. And they told me, we're out of Moscato.
Like, you're the problem.
I don't think I was the problem. I can't drink the whole Moscato by myself. So I'm sure other people wanted that. So, but
other people were drinking it,
yeah,
too.
But we're in the middle of the sea, and they said we don't have Moscato, and they couldn't get it anywhere. Maybe till we get to Bahamas, then they got some, because on our way back they had some. But what's your favorite wine?
I like a good dry red.
Okay.
But you know, recently my mind is changing a bit, because I love my teeth, and every time I drink a dry red, I'm like, aye, my teeth, bro. Anything that even remotely, even just a little incy wincy bit tries to stain my teeth, I want to stay away from.
Yeah.
But I genuinely love a good dry red wine. But maybe a dry white. I'm not mad at it. But what I don't understand is the ones that are between. You know how there's a gray area?
Yeah.
There's black, white, then there's gray?
Yeah.
I don't want to offend anyone, but that's where I put the what are they called? The Prosecco, whatever, category. And what's it called? What's the red one? The rosé.
Rosé? Uh-huh. Rosé.
For me, that's a gray area.
Yeah.
Because it tastes like either one every once in a while. But I want to go dry red. That's where I want to go. That's my favorite. I don't do sweet wines very well.
When I was in Uganda, I tried the dry red. I like sweet wine. I like especially the white.
You do?
Yeah, the white. I like the white. I don't do good with red wine, but I tried. I don't remember what. It was from South Africa. I got it from Uganda there. I don't know. But I wasn't really a big fan. I can drink it, but it's not like I was a big fan of it.
Is it? I don't know if it's just me who has this thought, the logic that if you mix sugar and alcohol, you get higher very quick.
That's the point.
So I stay away from sweet wines. I just want to drink slowly. I'm not ready. You go from 0 to 100 in like no minutes. That's sweet things. Yeah. I can't drink Smirnoff. It's very sweet.
Smirnoff?
So sweet wines and sweet beers. Yeah.
Oh.
It's sweet.
Guarana was.
You get drunk in like 2 seconds.
Guarana was my favorite. Like, it was like water to me. Like, I would wake up and just drink a bottle of Guarana.
Yeah? Did you say what?
Guarana.
Dude, remind me to stay away from you. Now I know. Mm-mm. I would never do that. You're a dangerous, dangerous person.
But.
No, I can't.
So on the. Your page of the Vino Baka 24, you have a line that I really found interesting. Yeah. A meal without wine is breakfast. Mm.
Come on. Remember what they say, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Uh-huh. So a meal without wine is actually breakfast.
Yeah.
Do not confuse the two. I mean, are you having your tea or your coffee that's water. You know how you said guarana is water to you?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. I need you to get up, whip up an omelette, and pour a wine.
Yeah.
And pair. You see how those two go together?
Yeah.
And then I need you to think about life for like 2 hours. And then whip up a brunch meal and put a wine on it.
Yeah.
And then whip up a lunch and put a wine on it. So you need to be wining and dining all day, every day.
Every day.
Think about
that. That is true. You can't go wrong with wine. Mm-hmm. Wine is when it's good. Oh.
You can't.
But also, this is not an ad, but you can't go wrong with Corona. That was my favorite. I wish they had it in the US. They don't have it here.
Whoa. Maybe you should take some. Can you take some though?
Yeah.
Is it possible?
Yeah, the last time, I think you can, because last time I brought some UG back here, but it was a long process to carry.
Oh, yeah, that seems to find its way in different places.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that you're going to seem it shows up everywhere.
I know.
I'm going to go to a country, no one has ever had to Uganda. You'll find UG somehow. It will be there.
Yeah.
I'm just like, bro, how did that happen?
Anywhere.
It's crazy.
Ugandans like that. I'm not really a big fan of it, mm-hmm. again. I won't die for it, but it's cool. But I won't die for that.
It's a gin, isn't it? It's a gin.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, there's a gin, and then there's a new one they've made with lemon and ginger. I think they have. I'm yet to try that one. I've not had that one.
The new maybe one. That could do something. Maybe I could. I like both lemon and ginger, so maybe I could do that.
I thought I would like it.
Hopefully not to abuse it.
Yeah. But I never got a chance to try it. So,
maybe when next someone is over there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'll send for some. I'll planning to come back to Uganda at some point.
Mm.
Anyway, in your introduction that I just made for the listeners, I did not mention one word that confused my head. I did not mention photography. But when you go on your page, you see some dope photography pictures. Like, how doesn't that make to your description? Or
let me tell you.
How? Like, what did the photography do to you to not deserve a spot on your description?
Honestly, Bonnie, I can explain. The thing is, I also don't know how it happened. In my mind, I thought I had put it up there. It was there. I enjoy photography, mm-hmm. but I think I spent a few years afraid of the word photographer because of how much pressure it comes with. Every time someone sees you, they're like, she can take great photos. Mm-hmm. Let her take photos of us. But then after a while, I'm like, I can do it. But I see interesting things, not people. I don't know how to shoot people except for my sister, because I shoot photos of her.
Okay.
She's an easy subject to work with.
Okay.
But I mostly shoot maybe interesting pieces I see, mostly nature. Like, I love to see, even if it's something as small as a fly on the wall, I'll probably photograph it. So, yeah, I'm going to own it. I'm a photographer.
Mm-hmm. It's really
right
cool.
Here first.
And for the listeners, you need to go check out her page. I don't think she describes it as a photography page, but like her Instagram page, there are really some good pictures. And you love nature. I find it like people who love nature, they're somewhat associated with mm-hmm. photography, because like you have an eye for nature, you love the things and you appreciate it. So you take a picture of it to create a memory or to relive mm-hmm. what you have seen.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it. And the funny part is I'm like that too. I never put photography anywhere in my description, but I actually have a photography page.
But you're a photographer.
I have a photography page on Instagram that you did
you
not.
You better tell me what it is.
It is. I just use Chibuka.
Because I'm going to go stalk you. Where is my phone?
Chibuka Photography. Actually, you should look it up right now. I want to see. It's
Where is my phone?
It's Chibuka.
Let's see. Why have you been hiding?
Chibuka Photography. Because like those are just like pictures. Chibuka _ photography, I think. I think it has God's creation.
Is it God's beautiful creation?
Yeah. So I take just random pictures. Like when I see, what I see is what I take. I work on airplanes. So like I take airplane pictures and stuff. It's not any fancy. I'm not a photographer.
Shut up. This is nice.
It's there.
Guys, whoever is listening, he's lying that it's not fancy. It's fancy. Look at this. How many people have seen that? That's nice. You do great photography.
So I just...
I'm following immediately.
I just take what I see. That's like really what cool. You just described. Like I'm not good at taking human, like people or portraits, how you call it. But I love when I'm traveling.
Right?
I take a picture. Like I have some actually I've not uploaded yet that I took when I went to Washington, D.C. last weekend. But yeah, I like
you
that.
Should
it's fun.
They're beautiful photos.
Thank you. I appreciate.
Yeah.
So one picture I want to
talk
about on your Instagram was when you were at CP Falls. Was that bungee jumping or were you just going down on a rope?
The activity is called abseiling.
Okay.
So there's like people up there, they're going to put you on a harness and lower you. Literally, that's the activity.
Okay.
So they just keep ever so slowly dropping you. It's, I think, 100 meters down. But when you're on the harness, it seems like 1,000 because in my mind, I was like, when are we reaching? We're not down there yet. Okay, we're almost. In my mind, I'm like, please hurry. Like, hurry up. I want to see the ground quickly, quickly.
Yeah.
So, but it's abseiling. It's not bungee jumping.
Did that make you think that bungee jumping would have been easier or ziplining, or what made you choose that?
Well, I think that bungee jumping, you get to the ground a lot faster.
Yeah, so in like just, 1 minute.
Because you just jump off in a second you're like, yeah, we're there, and then back. And then ziplining is just point A to point B. You're just like a mosquito going from one ear to another.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, real quick.
Yeah.
But abseiling is, given the location, I have to say, because location matters.
Yeah.
That's the third time I was doing abseiling. Captura, in my opinion, is number one on the list of most beautiful districts in Uganda. Very green. The sound of the waterfalls. You're just very close to it, and then you're just looking out at nature. And then also the anxiety and the fear in there makes everything even more interesting. You're just like, what? God made that, and I get to enjoy it. So I'll choose that any day. It's an activity that I think mom likes to call it God. Why do you keep knocking on God's door? Because what if you fall?
Yeah.
Because it's literally, your life is in someone else's hands. He's the one holding and, you know, dropping you slightly every few minutes. So knocking on God's door, she's like, why do you keep doing that? But it's fun. The adrenaline rush is worth it.
Would you rather, are you planning on doing bungee jumping or that's enough for you?
My heart. I know you said I have South African knees.
Yeah.
But my heart is for the weak. It's like 90 years old. I cannot do it. I can't. Yeah. I might die halfway there. Yeah. And I'm just like, she died and came back. I might miss the whole activity just because I'll pass out. So let me think about it.
How about, what's that called? Where you jump out of the plane?
Skydiving?
Skydiving, yeah.
Surprisingly, if anyone asked me today, do you want to do it? I'd probably just be like, yeah, when? Now? Let's go.
That's how I feel.
Let's just go.
I feel the same way.
But then, right?
Yeah.
You just be like, whew, let's do it. Tomorrow we shall risk our lives again. But let's do it now.
Yeah, I feel like I could do
something that's crazy. I think crazy activities are good for just keeping you alive, keep you in check. So that, hello,
yeah,
your heart works, your lungs work, everything is fine. Yeah, let's try again tomorrow.
Yeah, I would.
It's crazy.
I would do that, but I would never do bungee jumping. Not in a million years. Like I don't think I can.
Why?
No. Why? Like you said, you don't have the heart. No, bungee jumping is different from so. Skydiving is like you have somebody. So this is my thing. And I don't know. Have you ever met Eunice Tess? She's a traveler and she does Eunice.
I haven't actually, but we used to interact on my, I have to mention, by the way, to whoever is listening, my old page. Yeah, I had to, there's another Instagram.
Okay.
I have all travel, whatever's there, but we used to interact on there. Eunice Tess, I know of her, but we've never met.
So
yeah.
I had her on the podcast and she was talking about her experience bungee jumping. And I told her the reason why I wouldn't do bungee jumping is you falling alone. But the reason why I would do skydiving is we are together. So if something goes wrong, I'll be at peace that I died with somebody. They just died.
Yo, wicked. Please, I don't know who is in charge of hell. Call the people and tell them Bonnie will be pouring drinks for Satan himself, because why would you say that?
I'm not.
Etty, I'll be falling alone. I'm at peace. I'm falling with someone.
Yep, we're going together.
That's crazy.
No, I feel like, no, not actually that. Like, I mean, I'm not going to take it back. I'll keep it. But it's like somebody who is taking you down on that parachute, his experience. So I'm hoping the person is going to get us down. But here with bungee jumping, right. You're just going. And it's all on you and the guy who pushed you.
By yourself.
So it's by yourself. So that's how I look at it. I did ziplining. It was scary at first, but it wasn't too bad. Ziplining is not bad.
Wait, here? Did you do here?
No, I did in the U.S.
Ah, okay. Because I was going to say, the zipline over Bunyonyi is... It's not scary. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I think even a baby, a child, not a baby, could do it. I think it's fine.
I've
never done the one over Mavira, so I don't know for sure.
Yeah, there's one I've seen in Uganda that is really low, and it looks cheesy. It looks easy peasy.
Yeah, I think it's probably the one over the lake.
But I've seen just videos of other people doing it. Anyway, on top of the photography and all the nature, the love of the nature, you love to travel. And that made the description. So travel. What sparked your love for travel?
Ooh, curiosity. Yo. Also, more importantly, I like seeing for myself. Let me just be honest. I don't want to be sat and someone is there saying, so when you go to New York, you're going to see the Empire State Building. And I'm like, yeah, that's nice. Okay. As soon as you tell me, I'll be like, so I want to go see for myself. I just want to see something. That's why I like traveling. I like seeing and I like experiencing cultures and trying new foods and learning about people and trying to butcher people's languages, which is really not intentional, but it is what it is. But that's mostly it.
So I also saw the page, Let's Take Off. Is that your page or who owns a page for the travel?
No, that's my sister's page.
Okay.
That's my sister's page. Her name is Aleti. It's called that now because of the project that's currently running.
Okay.
A travel project to set a Guinness World Record to go to all the countries in the world in 18 months.
Oh, wow.
So that's what it's why it's called Let's Take Off. Yeah.
That is quite a that's quite a project.
It is a project, yeah. It's going. I mean, we're about more than 50 countries in, so it's going well, I would say.
So, yeah, that brings me to the only countries I've seen, and you know more. And I want you to tell me some of the experiences when you traveled. I saw a picture when you're in Egypt and then when you went to Europe. What are some of the countries you visited and what did you like about all the countries you went to?
I think the same way you're checking out pages, there's just try maybe see the old page.
Okay.
Also, it's just called Ayeza. That's where most of the travel, whatever is documented.
Okay.
But yeah, so the experiences there are, every place is different. You know, you see something different everywhere you go and I would go to the same place that you would go and would have different experiences, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I can say for sure, Egypt. Yo, the heat in Egypt. I just want to say I respect whoever lives in Egypt because it can never be me. You have gorgeous pyramids. That's it. But beyond that, my clothes were stuck to my body and I was praying and saying, is it really worth it to see the pyramids while I'm suffering? But you know, the people who see you posting will never understand. They'll be like, oh my God, she saw the pyramids. That's nice. But they don't know you were out there sweating blood and tears in the desert. But it was cool. Yeah. It was cool. It was a great experience. Found out that's where the papyrus is originated from there, from Egypt. So that's where people started to write. And they have really good tea, I have to say. I'm a tea person.
Oh, really? I'm a tea person.
Yeah, that's a lie. Maybe. Yeah, tea. I think tea is amazing. And I think that's what Egypt was cool for. I would say coming down below Ethiopia, it has a beautiful city. Addis Ababa is amazing to look at. And more importantly, if you're anything like me, you love to have convenience. if a city is not convenient for me, I'm just like, what's the purpose of modernity if you don't improve?
Yeah.
Like I was telling, on my way here, I was telling someone, Kampala is difficult for me because it's very disorganized.
Yeah.
If you stand on the Gaddafi Mosque and look down, you'll just be like, ah, how have we survived this whole time? Because it's very disorganized. You're just looking at it like, where do we even pass?
Mm-hmm.
So Addis Ababa is beautiful. I'll give you that. The Awash Falls, I think that's what it's known for. Quite pretty. And the food.
Yeah.
The food.
The Ethiopian
the
food.
The injera and the tips furfur.
I didn't like that. Nice. You know that the chapati looking thing? I don't know what they call it. The brown thing?
Injera? Yeah.
I tried it here in America. Yeah. They have an Ethiopian restaurant. I didn't really like it. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll just say maybe you didn't try a great place.
Okay.
We'll find a great place and then you'll change your mind.
Okay.
Go see about that.
Okay.
Let's see. Coming down a little bit lower. I think in general, East Africa, my favorite place has been... East Africa is nice.
You've been to Mombasa?
I can pick between Rwanda, Kenya, Tanzania. Yes, so, I have. Yes, I have.
Is the heat in Mombasa, is the heat in Egypt worse than the one in Mombasa? Because I know when I was in Mombasa, it was hot.
Yes.
Thanks.
Can you say yes in capital letters? Yes. That's all I will say because I was dying down there. I was just like, bro, I want to see the Sphinx, but at what cost? Please.
That is crazy.
And I made a mistake and wore black. So I was generally being fried. But it was cool.
I've had Dubai is hot too. I've never been to Dubai. That's on my bucket list.
It's also hot. Are you Ugandan enough if you haven't been? You know how people keep saying here that every Ugandan has been to Dubai?
Yeah.
It's funny. And I'm just like, no, that's not.
Dubai is Kampala 2.0. They say Dubai is Kampala 2.0.
That actually makes sense because everybody here goes to Dubai. They're like, where do you want to go? Dubai.
Dubai.
Dubai. Dubai is everything. But it's nice. It's nice. What I don't like is that the normal Dubai, when they go to Dubai, they're like, okay, the city, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But outside, when you get a little bit outside Dubai, in the outskirts, it's beautiful, I think. People should explore more those areas.
I need to go to Dubai. To just visit. It's nice. Mm-hmm.
Just to pass by. Mm.
So you said, I've been to Rwanda, Kenya, Mombasa. I've actually not been to a lot of African countries. That's sad. But I've been to the airport in Ethiopia when I was flying back. Their airport is nice.
That's funny. You just said, I've been to the airport
Of
Bole. You've been just to Bole and that's it.
I've been to the airport of Ethiopia in Addis Ababa. I didn't go out. Actually, I had a layover for 7 hours. I should have stepped out and just go to the city.
When did you get out? Yeah, because you can get a visa on arrival. So you could have gotten out and seen a bit of Addis Ababa and enjoyed the city because it's quite beautiful down there. It's a bit chilly, but it's beautiful down there. I've also not been to that many African countries. Only East Africa, Rwanda, Burundi, Kenya, Tanzania, ET, and just Egypt, and that's it.
How about our famous South Africa?
No. Funny thing, I have never been to South Africa. Even though I say how South Africa is, isn't it wild? I'm just like, virtually, I've been there in my mind. I know everything about South Africa, but I have never been there. So Africa, for me, the eastern part is just what I've done. A little bit of Asia, some Latin America, and that's it.
Okay.
I think so.
That's pretty good. I love to travel. I like to go to new places.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out I like to drive more than flying because driving, I know it's tiring, but you see a lot. But if you go up on the plane, the only thing you're going to see are the clouds for almost all your trip and then till you come down. But when you're driving, you can see a lot of things.
Mm.
So if I can,
that's true.
If I can
that's
drive, true. I would rather drive. But if there are some places you can't drive to if you're going to, and you can only just fly.
So you're good at road tripping then?
Yeah.
Road trips are your type of thing.
Yep.
You just go from point A to point B. Maybe did you do road trips around UG?
Yeah, I did.
Visiting the place.
When my trip to Rwanda, we drove from Kampala all my trips to Kenya, we drove. Yeah, I've actually just, I was driving all the trips I've done in even within Uganda. Every time we go to Arua, Guru,
yeah,
Kisoro, those other places. So yeah, we just drive. Anyway.
Oh, cool.
The other part of things you like to do that you told me is reading. How many books do you read a year?
Hi, that depends. That depends. I could easily read a book a month or two, depending.
Yeah.
So I can't say for sure that I've read, let's say, 52 books in a year, every year. No, it depends on how the year goes or the days go by. Also, how interesting the book is.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know. But more, I guess more often, I do read more often than a few people that I know.
Yeah.
So maybe that freaks people out a little bit. So sometimes I update, I'm like, "Woo, I'm on book number this." And everyone's like, "Ah."
Mm-hmm.
But wait a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do enjoy reading.
What sparked your reading? Because for me, my background was not, there was no reading in it. So I'm not a very good reader. I could read one book for you a year. But I'm not.
Yeah?
I could read one book for you a year. And that's if you're lucky.
One.
One.
They're like 200 pages. Why are you reading one book, dude? There's a lot going on.
What sparks your love for reading?
I think it's stories.
Mm-hmm.
I love to hear a good story, to read a good story. And I love to learn. Outside of, you know, the day-to-day learning of I enter a class and learn something,
mm-hmm.
you know. So learning through books and also as an adult, I've learned that there's a lot that's written down rather than that is spoken of.
Okay.
Right? So I find a lot of information in books. So I just like, I like a good story. Just like the Bible has the wildest stories, so do other books.
Mm-hmm.
So I explore and read a few books here and there and then I see what information is in these other books. And I like knowing a little bit of something about a whole bunch of topics.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like I'm out of place. Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned it. For me, I like to listen than reading. Like I would rather, and that makes me lazy because even when I'm reading my Bible, I just play the new version and just click play and it reads the chapter for me and I'm just listening. Because if I'm reading, I'm going to fall asleep.
Oh, let the Lord not hear you say that. Like, why is my son like that? It's crazy because every time I try to listen to the Bible, there's just some random guy saying, "In the beginning, God created the world." And I'm like, who is that guy though?
Yeah.
My mind wanders.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather I read than listen to something. I can't even listen to audiobooks.
Mm.
I just be like, wait, what, again? So reading is my thing.
That's crazy. Even when I was in college, I would first find an audiobook of the book they want us to read. And if I can't find it, then I'm going to read it. But audiobook was it for me. Just get it. Because when I'm reading, I read the line and my mind wanders. See, the opposite for you for audiobooks is for me reading the book. Like, it's my mind wanders. Even when I'm reading the Bible, I'll read one line. And then my brains go off something.
You're like, Jesus wept, that's nice. Yeah. So why is the sky blue?
Exactly.
Okay. That's you. Okay. To each is their own. It's funny. It can be the same thing that we're interested in, but in different ways.
So why would you rate your greatest read of all times? Like what's, for the books you've read so far, what is your greatest book of all time?
I think my favorite story. I'm going to categorize. Is that okay?
Okay.
The my favorite story so far is the book that's called Shantaram. It's about this Australian guy that broke out of prison and then ran away to India. That story is wild. Every once in a while, I go back and read that book, and it's this thick.
Oh wow!
With very tiny words, the fact that I keep going back is, I think, is evidence of how good it is. So that's my favorite story and my greatest read. And these other books, I would say Conversations with God. I know it's something that I read recently, but so far it's my greatest book because there's a way it changes your perspective. I was like, wait, what? Mm-hmm. I had never seen day-to-day life and interaction with, let's say, what people call religion or God in that way. Mm-hmm. It was written in a way that it changed what I thought about God completely. I was just like, every page I would be like, no way. And I'm a dramatic reader, so I'll be like, nah, there is no way, and go back and check again. So far, those are my two favorites.
Nice. Yeah. I actually have, I don't know, the audience won't see, but I have a library here. I have a ton of books, but this is when I was in college. So almost all my books are from college. But I read most of them. Right now, I read them because I wanted to pass school. So if I have something, I went to achieve. So I read. Or if I find a book.
You have to have a purpose.
I have to have a purpose. I can't read a book for fun. No, that's not me. That's
for fun. No. That's me. That's me. I'm just like, open a page for fun.
Yeah.
Another page for fun. Mm-mm. Which is weird because that never used to be me.
Yeah.
Like, I can't say in high school that was me. Impossible. Me, never. Yeah. But these, as I got older, and I'm just like, okay, I found that reading was such a space, safe space, because then there's nobody interrupting me. I'm just knee deep in another person's world and another universe, and I'm reading, and I'm like, I'm immersed in that.
It's like people who read books on the beach. I find that weird. Really weird. I'm at the beach. Why am I reading?
That one I can't do. I'd rather count sand, because what do you mean? Yeah. Reading a book on the beach? I'll just count a grain of sand. That's better. Because the beach is a beach. There's people all over the place. There's probably a fish stuck somewhere and a seashell somewhere, or a toddler about to get into places they're not supposed to be. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And I'm also a people watcher. I don't know if everyone knows that that's a thing, but I would rather people watch than read a book by the beach.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
No, that's really weird. Like, how do you go to the beach and start reading a book? There's a lot of other places. You could go to a library, your house, somewhere, but not the beach.
A coffee shop,
yeah.
Anything.
You know?
Yeah. Doesn't do it on the beach. Weird. Do it somewhere else.
What are you currently reading right now?
It's funny because I started yesterday, and right now I'm trying to think of the title of it. I think it's called Why Did Nobody Tell Me This Before?
Oh, wow. I think I've seen the book.
I think that's what it's called.
I think I've seen the book somewhere on the internet, or somebody was sharing it.
Yeah, it's called Why Has Nobody Told Me This Before by Dr. Julie Smith. It's funny because I've been avoiding it a lot. I've avoided that book at all costs. But every time I enter a bookshop, it's the first thing I see. So I just decided to pick it up and see what it's about.
Yeah. No, it's a. I think I've seen it somewhere. I'm not going to say I know it or anything, but the title sounds good. No, why has nobody told me this before?
Yeah.
You mentioned some, I think you mentioned it, but maybe you didn't know. What has reading added to your life? Like, how does reading help you? Like, is it something you do for like a therapy? You know, some people read to heal, I listen to music to feel like happy, good. How do you use reading in your life, or how has it helped you?
Reading has helped me understand myself and other people, because I like to tell people that there's no manual to life. Like, no one births someone and says, I'm going to tell my child that this is how you're going to live, and you're going to go from point A to B like this, and then live la vida loca, like things like that. So for me, in a book, sometimes it helps me to see things a certain way and understand different people from different walks of life, and maybe try to see. From stories, I learned that people are always going through a whole lot of things, or there's always something happening in someone's life that you maybe don't know. So it helps me in that sense. So maybe not to take things at face value. There's always a depth to someone, and not just, you know, surface of, his name is Bonnie and he loves to talk. Yeah. So he has a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, there's always more to everything.
That's true.
So I think books have done that for me.
That is true. the other question, I'm going to back to your intro, actually. Every question I've asked you was built from your introduction. But we're going to go back to the intro. You have mother in there. How has your motherhood journey been? And tell us about it.
Hey, That story is actually wild. It's not something that I can get into right now because we're going to spend another 2-3 hours in this place.
Just take us on the surface. Take us on the surface of it.
I'll do the surface, yeah. My baby, her name is Rain, was born last year.
Okay.
October. Funny story, she was stolen, but then we found her. So motherhood for me has been extremely wild. It's just crazy going from a stolen baby to having a... It's a roller coaster, let's just say.
Yeah.
But it's been interesting. I would say just like any other... let me not say just like any other mother. I'm going to speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's been an enjoyable experience having her. And it changes everything. Hey, that thing changes everything.
I know. I have.
You often think that you have things to live for.
I have a daughter. She was born last year too. So
you do.
Yeah.
But same. We're the same.
So what month was your baby? What month was your baby born? We'll say was a she.
October.
October.
She.
Okay.
October.
My daughter was born. Yeah. She's almost 1 year. She was born last year in May. So she's almost one.
Yeah, yours is almost a year.
Yeah.
Mine just made 6 months on the 3rd. So. They're a little bit close to each other. It changes everything for you. You think that you have things to live for before you have kids. Until a little human being enters your life. Then you're like, shit, what have I been doing?
Yeah.
So now you have to change everything because you're doing it literally for them. You want to be better for them.
Exactly.
And you want to make sure they have the best life. And it just changes you completely. Life becomes... less serious,
yeah,
if I can put it that way.
Yeah, I can definitely connect with you on that because I like life was different for me before my daughter. And like, once the daughter comes, you look at her every day, like, she's beautiful, like, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life,
right?
And like, it changes you the way you look at life, the way you look at things.
It's like a mini you. You're that's mine,
But it's quite
super cute. There's like,
there's a lot of challenges that come with parenting in parenthood life, but there's also a lot of good things that come with it. And I like the way it changes.
That's true.
I'll say to myself, like, changes my heart, the way I look at things, the things I want to do, how I'm going to be a role model in somebody's life. Like, somebody's looking up to you, you know, things like that. So that has been, that's been crazy. That's been good. And fatherhood has been something good, something nice. And it comes with its challenges, but it also has a lot of good things to see. The other one, on your Instagram, you have spiritual enrichment. What is spiritual enrichment for you? Yeah, I think so. Simi,
let me first check. I'm just like, when did I say that?
Simi Gambo Biange, I need to.
Hey, that's...
I need to.
Color, you're lying, but anywho,
I'm you said I'm on. You said I'm lying. Where did I get it then? Like, spiritual,
you're
enrichment.
Lying.
I
don't know where you got it from, but it's not on my page. I don't see it.
Huh, maybe I have
not
the
even on my old page.
Maybe I have the wrong page, but let me see. Wait, unless you deleted it on your way here.
Wow. That's a jab to my heart.
But no.
Are you saying you don't trust me?
But you, let me see. I'm going to look for myself. All right. I don't know where I got it from. I agree. You're right. But no. No, actually, I know where I got it from now.
Where?
When I sent you a text and I asked you, what would you like to talk about? And then you sent me spiritual enrichment.
Oh. Okay, this is what I'm going to say, right?
Okay.
So, sometimes people like to say that I don't believe in God and all that. Well, I will understand. I understand when people say that. But I just would like to say that when you read and understand, I'm going to use the Bible, different, then it changes everything for you. When you say you don't believe in God, sometimes it makes sense, but then you have to believe in something because you come from something. So when I say spiritual enrichment, maybe it's to help people understand there's a different way you can add maybe spirituality to your life. So I often tell everyone that I meet, okay, so listen, we are created in God's own image. That means we are God in a way. So we create our own lives. If you sit down, Bonnie, where you are, and you think, my life is crazy, one, how am I going to do ABCD tomorrow? I don't think I have enough time. I don't know if I'm going to make it. And then in time to finish, maybe to put my daughter to bed, right?
Uh-huh.
It's surprising how you're going to wake up the next day, and that's exactly what's going to happen. And then you'll be like, but why is this happening? Da, 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 da. Without knowing in the back of my mind, in the back of your mind that you created that life beforehand. Everything that you speak is creation. Everything that you think is creation. And all your actions are creation. So body, mind, and soul, creation. Subconscious, superconscious, consciousness, creation. Huh. That's what I tell people. So if you learn to see life that way, it will be easier for you to know that in this universe, we all come from one thing, and that one thing is probably God, and we create in that way, in the same way he created us. Because mm-hmm. also God is trying to understand himself by creating us.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's somewhere like co-creating, mm-hmm. like we are co-creators. That's what I was trying
to say. So it's not like, oh my God, you need to believe.
Yeah, that makes sense. So yes. mm-hmm. a while back, when we had scheduled about having you on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
I was running a story here and I about opinion of girls asking money from guys. And I've made it a point that every time I have somebody on the podcast, we're going to talk about that. I want to hear somebody's opinion or their take, or your take. And I remember I told you I have to bring it up when I have you on the podcast. So I want to know your take on that. You've seen my post. You've seen these rules I put out, people's opinion from the very start, what people are saying. Mm. What is your take on the girls and men relationship and with money, like girls asking for trust fund money, or how is a man supposed to take care of the girl in terms of financial?
Before people come for me, I have to say, if I was a guy and I met a girl, and on the very, very first day, hi, my name is Bonnie. Hi, my name is Ayaza. Nice to meet you. Okay, now give me like 100K because I've got hair, nails, and feet to do, and I gotta eat. Bro, I'm going to run. That's not how it should work. People should get to know each other. Like, what do you mean? Like, didn't you come from a house? Didn't it have a roof? Was there no food? Like, make it make sense. Because I keep telling people that dating in Kampala is wild. On both ends, right?
Mm-hmm.
So girls are in it for what can he give me. If he can give me 100,000 a week, great. And then she has like three other people giving her 100,000 a week. That's probably 300K a week. And then the guys are in it for, if I can see her once or twice or three times a week, by see her, you know what I mean? Great. And if I'm only losing 100,000 for it, great. So the financial aspect is a bit of a double-edged sword. I'm not saying go out and ask men for money because that's wild. You came from someone. You have people that love you at home. Also, there is rice at home. Go eat rice. Go eat your rice at home. So even for the guys on the other side, like, by the time we got to a point where girls ask for money, we started somewhere. Someone had to have given it. And then another person and another one. So it made it seem normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh.
It's like it's a way of life now.
If you give me this, I will. Yeah, it's a way of life now. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking for here because I don't know about out there.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone is like, if I meet a girl in, let's say, what are the places where people meet here?
Nonivi.
If I go for this rock. Nonivi. If I go for brunch at Nonivi and I meet this hot looking chica, you know, her edges are laid. Now you start racking up the money.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to need hair.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to need nails.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably going to another brunch next weekend. So outfits.
Mm-hmm.
So you start counting your money. And then every time you see her, you're going to have to give her something. There's transport, there's yada, and all that. But before that, we need to remember that she was living before you.
Exactly.
She existed.
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't giving her a penny. So I don't understand how that changes on day one of getting to know a guy. And you know what confuses me the most about this whole thing? They don't even like each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, ah. So even if I saw it, even if I wanted to see it as an investment, so it's not.
Because
investment ideally is I put in something and get something.
Yeah.
Here, I don't even like this chick. I'm probably going to see her for 21 days and that's it. Never see her again.
Mm-hmm.
So in my books, Mm-mm. If when how I do it is if I see someone and then in a space and then we like each other, if you say let's meet here, I'm going to show up, but without the expectation of he's going to buy my meal, my drink, and later give me transportation and also airtime to call him and also data and also, as in, the list keeps getting longer and longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. He's also someone struggling in his way of life.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to me. I wouldn't do that. Yeah.
I think you've said it perfectly, and you've not been biased on one side or the other side. It's just an opinion and honest answer. And that's what I like, because it gets to a part where I think when you were talking, I was just in my head, maybe it's a business, because I think in the girl's mind, they know, like, if this guy one day wakes up and says he's leaving me, at least I've got money. At least I've got something from him.
Exactly.
Like I'm not.
Yeah.
So they know, like, oh, it wasn't a loss.
I have a friend, a male friend, right? And I often ask my male friends, man, how do you do it? Because I feel for them. How do you date in Kampala? Because every time I check out girls in Kampala, this chick has about, let's say, 4 people that she knows. Speaking to, talking to, that's what they call it these days. Those 4 people are all giving her a certain amount of money, and it's no less than 100,000. So she's getting, let's say, 1 point something a month from all these people. And these guys have their own jobs, their salaries, their lives, you know, because these women are not the center of their lives because they're not even married or something like that. So I'm thinking she's dating all these 4 people, and then all these people are giving her money, and then every time they see each other, it's more money, and then they keep adding more money and more money. They're essentially taking care of this one chick, 4 guys, 1 girl, right? Mm-hmm. And she's not even spending a dime. You're going to give her that money, and then she'll go out and drink your drinks. Mm-hmm. She won't spend a dime. So I often ask these guys, how do you do it? And then this male friend of mine legit said, these days when I go out, I just grab a soda and sit down and drink it, because do you know what he said? He said that when girls look at you and they see that you're handsome, mm-hmm. and you're good looking, and you know you smell nice, they want to come towards you. But as soon as they see what you're drinking, they're like, never mind.
Yeah.
So that's his trick. If he's seated with his Coca-Cola, you're not gonna ask questions.
Yeah.
You're gonna be like, but where is his Jameson or his Hennessy or his whatever drinks? So the pockets are not aligned, because where are the drinks? So they'll walk away. So that's his way of getting out of it.
I'm telling you, dating in Kampala is on another level. So it's crazy. It's getting, the streets are tough.
They're crazy. Even me, I fear for my life. I'm like, these girls might come for me.
No, but it's
do you know what's funny?
What?
Guys have started to do it too.
Oh, really?
Guys have started to do it too.
That's
for real. No. A guy will come.
Let's hear that. Let's hear that. Let's hear that opinion. From the guy's perspective.
You know, I've heard stories that so that's why I'm saying it's a two-way traffic. Because guys notice that girls have been doing it. So they're like, why not us? Let's start to do it. So people start like that. Girls did it for the longest time, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a certain guy somewhere sat down and said, but let me see if I try, what will happen? So there's a few guys out there who have started to do it too. So they also get money from different, they call it, what is the word? They call it, what's the word? Slightly older ladies, you know? Slightly older ladies.
Sugar mommy?
So you know she can't. Oh, yeah. So the guys are now called sugar babies.
Okay, sugar babies.
You know, she can take care of herself. She can give you, you know, she can be like, but babe, I don't like your shirt. Let's go here and get you a new one, you know, get you a few pairs of shoes, you know. So guys also have their ways of maneuvering these streets. I can't say that they don't. I don't know for sure that they do, but I know there's someone out there scouring these streets trying to figure their lives out.
That is wild.
Yeah.
That is crazy. It is funny. It is.
It's giving. Two can play that game.
But anyway, I liked your honest answer for that, for the money. And it's crazy. I like to hear different people's opinions. But for me, that deal with money, I'll always never. And this is what I say to a friend. If I have, even if the girl is just my friend, we're not in any intimate relationship, I like to support.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have a business, you're not making enough to get what you want to get. I'll be that friend. I was like, hey, I'll give you 10K so you can top up on your rent, or so you can do this. And like, in a relationship, it's together. It's two people. You people are helping each other.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to feel, when a relationship feels a one-sided, the guy is always the one giving money. The guy is always the one doing this. It gets tiring.
Yeah.
And when you find your yourself in that position that you're the one putting in all the money, everything, everything, the other person is just using you. And don't get me wrong, it might not be like that for all of them, but I bet you not, 90% of that person is just using you. But when the other person too can take a sacrifice of like, hey, you helped me out the other day, here is 100K for this, help yourself go through this.
Yeah.
That's a relationship.
Yeah.
Will you relate? But what makes me think that this is now just a business, because somebody, like what I told you earlier, they know that if the only thing I can get out of this relationship is money. So once this is done, I can say, at least I got money. To be honest, like, at least I got money. But, but like, the other thing is, if somebody's not working and they don't show any intention of going to work, why do you ask the money that you're not even working for? I would feel happy to help somebody who is working and not making enough to take care of what they want. But if you're just sitting at home watching soaps and stuff and all you do is sending mobile money, me some money. No, that's not how things work.
What's crazy is between my friends and I, the number one thing that puzzles us is how there's a new boutique every day, right?
Mm.
So we keep asking ourselves, who is buying these things? Because if each person within, I don't know, every 50 meters or even less, there's a boutique. Mm-hmm. There's a boutique. And the stock is no different. It's the same stuff everywhere around the city. And then this one girlfriend of mine said, oh, no, these are the girls that have boutiques that are not selling much. They have the latest iPhone 15 Pro Max. And they don't make a lot of money. Like, clearly you can see, because I saw that dress last season and it's still here.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but they have money. Every day they show up, they have money. They've got their TikTok accounts. They're looking great. Nails are did. Hair is laid. They're looking great. But you can count how many people go through their stores to actually buy something.
Mm-hmm.
So they often ask, where does the money come from? Until someone said, so if this is a 9-to-5 and the day is done, this young lady is going to go, you know how you're going to party Monday to Monday. So they're going to go out and say, we know that there's a popular quiz night here. It's maybe at a place. They're going to go and then they have their targets. They'll sit and chill and they'll look great. They'll probably buy the very first drink and that's it. Because it's in a man's nature to approach a good-looking young lady.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to come through and go like, can I buy you a drink? That's client number one.
Mm-hmm.
They have their money coming through that one person. On Tuesday, different place, same game. Wednesday, Thursday. So all week long, they're gathering and hunting. So by the time they are done, they are set for life. They don't have to even lift a finger.
Yep.
But you can see that. If you ask her, what do you do? I have a boutique. And that's it. But they have lots of money and they are living beyond life. They're just like, wow, I want to be like that girl.
Yeah.
But you don't know where the money is coming from. And that's how a lot of it comes to be.
Yeah. But to me, the
other thing, I'll end with this too, and then we can wrap up this. But
the way girls demand money, for those who demand money the way they do, it puts a different picture.
Demand?
It puts a different picture on them. It looks like they're asking for payments for their services, like they're offering services. And I don't want to say like I've seen people in comments on the post that we put out there, like, prostitutes, like, you give us services and you expect money back. That
I get something out of it.
It's like you're offering services.
You know what's crazy? It has become so normal that people now joke about it on X. They just be like, they call it quote unquote meat sellers, right? They're like, now people are selling.
Yeah.
now people are selling meat. So every time I see these tweets, that I'm just dying, because there's a lot of truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of truth is in on all these jokes. They're like, ah, man, meat sellers, this chick knows that if I go here and here, even before you get any sort of intimacy out of that person, there's already money invested in that person, right? By the time they get to the intimacy, there's a lot more money in there. So sometimes people make their money that way.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ever going to know the reasons as to why certain people get to certain levels of, let's say, making money that way? You can never know. But yes, it paints a picture and makes a girl look a certain type of way.
One thing I'll say as a man, from a man's perspective, and this is for me, I'm not going to speak for all other men, I feel more intimidated by a woman who makes her own money and who does her own things. Like, Toina Chomogamba. Like, there's nothing you're going to tell her. Like, she has her job.
I mean, you can stay or you can go.
Yeah, like, she has her job and she has her money. Like,
yeah.
What? Like, what, yeah. You know? Like, I feel more... not intimidated might not be the right word, but, like, because as a man, there's nothing you're going to do to her.
That's a more impressive person.
But like when another person is showing a picture of like mpayo, 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 mpayo. I'm like, ooh. Like, there's nothing to chase for. There's nothing to fight for. You know, whereas this woman who is working, you have to work for her to accept to even like say, okay, I'll go on a date with you. I'm busy. I got time. I got this.
So you
have to work for it.
Yeah. What I've seen from relationships that are set that way, where the lady is her own person and the man is also his own person, the man is more motivated to give. I don't know what the thing there
is. That
is
true.
But usually the guy...
I have said that a million times.
He's always like, here's a little bit. Here's this money. Do this. Because she never, ever asks.
Mm-hmm.
And every once in a while... the lady is also out there, and you know when you have a partner, you think about them, you see something that reminds you of them, you're like, oh, let me get this shirt for my guy, let me get this pair of shoes, this would look good on him, this watch would look great, things like that. And the guys are always in shock. They're like,
mm-hmm.
You got me something? That shows you how the dating, the relationship world has changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's now, the guys never expect anything. The only expectation they have is, how much money am I going to get to lose now in this relationship? How much money is going to go? But those relationships that are set that way, the man always gives. Mm-hmm. And he's always, he doesn't mind. He's like, here's a million. Just go spend.
Yeah.
Do this. Do that. But the ones where they beg, they're like, ah, man, let me go find someone else.
Yeah. And then the other thing too, like in those relationships we're talking about, I was telling a friend that.
Yeah.
How are you going to work this? Like, take an example of this lady who takes her care of herself. She makes her hair, everything, her clothes. As a man who is dating her, how are you going to feel telling her, oh my gosh, you look so beautiful, knowing that she spent that money on herself? Like, it's not even a single coin of her makeup. Like,
you feel
bad to tell her, oh my God, you look so beautiful. You know you did not put any money of that. But this person who asks
didn't
money
do
for
anything about
it. This person who keeps asking, you'll be like, you look beautiful. Yeah, it's my money. You know, like something like that. It's
he's gonna be sitting there saying, I did that.
Yeah.
That's on me. You ain't got nothing to do with it. But isn't it great? Like, if she shows up. I think it's part of the effort that your partner puts into the... That's how I say it, that your partner puts into it. I know you saw me today and I looked a certain type of way, but I went out of my way and got a new hairdo. My nails look great, so I come looking fresh. Just like how you go out
mm-hmm.
and get a haircut and you come looking, you know, very fresh, and those Pythagoras theorem down to your face and you're looking nice.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? Let's go out to dinner because everyone has got to see what I'm seeing.
Yeah, exactly.
So things like that. I think that's how it works. But this world of, man, this side, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
I was once, I'm not going to call out the person, but I'm going to say I was once in a relationship where I used to show up for myself, right? My hair is done. My nails are done. You know? And then the guy once asked me, he went like, but you just disappear for like a few days and you come back looking different, but like he didn't know what to do with it. He was in complete utter shock because all the people that he was dating were different. They'd be like, man, first give me want to change my hair.
Yeah.
But me, in my mind, I don't actually think about it. I'm thinking of myself. Like, I don't look great. Mm-hmm. I don't like how I look. Mm-hmm. Let me go and do something about it. Rather than, I don't like how I look. Let me first call someone to do something about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more of a personal thing.
It's a personal thing. I like that. And this topic is an endless topic that will never end. But I like to listen to a lot of people's ideas and opinions. But Bridget, it was such a great conversation. I have three questions that I want to ask you before I let you go. I know we already passed the 1 hour mark, which I tell you. But this is what I was saying, like when you go in a conversation and then it just goes on a little bit.
Yeah.
But I try to minimize it.
There's a direction you go.
Is try to minimize it for the people who are listening, because some people out there, they can't listen to 1 hour podcast. So then it makes you pointless for them to speak your words and they'll never listen to them. Three questions I have for you. What has been a life lesson you've learned in life to this point?
I have learned that... I know this is it's probably a wild lesson to learn, but I've learned that people don't always have the best... Think of the best for you. Like, you're going to meet someone, they look like they're your best friends and they mean well, but, yo, it's not always that way. So I've learned to protect my space. I've learned to protect my space and... keep my circle a little bit smaller than I would have liked. Mm. That is by far right now my biggest lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. What gets you excited about life?
Ooh. Now that I have a daughter, what excites me is seeing her grow up and getting to experience stuff, one, that I didn't experience, and to do things together, because she is literally going to... She's like my best friend. She's going to be my sister. Because I'm like, you and I, locked for life. Yes. The day she gets married, I will weep. Because I'll be losing someone. So that's what gets me excited about life these days.
That's unbeatable. That's something really special. My final question, the signature question of the podcast. Who would you like to see on this podcast next as a guest? And you're going to help me to get a person here.
I know I'm biased, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I would like to see my sister on here because she has the wildest mind I have ever come across.
Okay.
Sometimes she says something and I'm like, how did you even think of that? So I'd like to see her on here. Yeah. Aleti Crystal, she will shock you. Okay. Let me just prepare you.
Okay.
She shows up. She will shock you.
We're ready. So yeah, thank you very much for being on the podcast. I really enjoyed having a conversation with you,
thank you
I hope the listeners
love
it. So it's been amazing.
I hope so too. Thank you for having me, and hopefully we can do this again.
Again, yeah.
You know?
Good conversation. Hey there, my name is Bonnie Chibuka, the podcast host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching and listening to my podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to hit the like button and don't forget to subscribe. Also, leave a feedback on this podcast, so that's how we grow. Thank you very much and be blessed.